This is The Camp with Zach Heilprin and The Athletic's Jesse Temple.
Yes, welcome in. Badgers are four practices into spring. We got to see the last three of them, Jesse. How's everything going, by the way? How you doing? It's kind of like getting thrown back into the fire here. I mean, we had a couple months off where football was non-existent, essentially, and now it was every day this week.
It's a mini season. It's a 5-week mini season in terms of coverage. Somehow it's busier than the actual season because of how many times we can see them practice and do some interviews. But it's good because once spring ball is over May 2nd, then we just got a few months with not much happening. But obviously the season is getting closer and closer, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it is crazy though, where you're down there every day. It is, as you said, I think we're down there more during spring practice than we are during the season, like each week, right? Like, it's usually the week is maybe, and you have games, you have travel, so it's a little bit different, but it has been getting back into the mix pretty significantly here at this point. All right, let's talk about this a little bit. I wanted to open this up with something that I wanted to actually do on Temple and Heilprin, but we didn't get to do that on Thursday night. We'll be back there on this Thursday night at Monks and Sun Prairie. Looking forward to that. But I wanted to open it up with this because a lot of people have been wondering about the quarterbacks and whether it's, you know, you got Braden Locke, you got Tyler Van Dyke, you got Nick Evers, you got Mabry Matoyer. You have these guys, and Nick, and I should say Phil Longo told you guys this week that it's a four-man competition. Now, I don't necessarily believe that. However, I will throw this overreaction or no at you. Tyler Van Dyke and Braden Locke are in a quarterback competition in name only. Is that an overreaction or no?
This always confuses me. That is not true.
Okay, so
would that be an overreaction?
Yes.
Yeah. You'd think after all the years of us doing overreaction or not, I'd figure it out. But this is a very real quarterback competition, and that was my first thought too when they just put both of them running with the ones. Is okay. Well, we remember what last year was like. Tanner Mordecai was the A1 from day one, if you will, and Braden Locke was running with the twos, and that was that. And that's not what's happening this time. And I wrote about this in my recent recap of what we saw Saturday, but also throughout the week. My initial read on this is that I don't think this is a situation where it will even be decided by the time spring practices are over on May 2nd. Now, somebody may start to separate himself over the last 11 practices, but my natural assumption is that Tyler Van Dyke is going to be the week one starter and that his experience will win out. And that if it is like even potentially, they would go with him, but he's going to have to earn this starting job and take it, because I think Braden Locke, especially as a practice player, and I know we've all seen three starts plus a half against Iowa as a practice player, he's a really good practice player just because he's got the knowledge. And I thought he made some of the better throws of the week on Saturday. And I would also say for people listening, Saturday was really, so it was the first time they were in full pads. The first three practices, they were not. We hardly saw much of any passing, let alone deep passes in 11-on-11 work before Saturday. So it has been difficult for one guy to separate himself from the other. But I think Braden Locke is going to give Van Dyke a run for his money. That's not to say he's, you know, Locke is going to be the starter. But to me, this is a very real quarterback competition. And just in the way they're handling the reps illustrates that. I don't think you just do this just to do it. One time it'll be Braden running with the first team and then Van Dyke with the second. And the next time they go 11s, they switch it up. And that's the way it's been. And I don't necessarily anticipate that changing at this point for the spring, at least.
Yeah, I'm just surprised you at all.
Yes, it absolutely surprises me. I think there's a couple things, and we did have a chance to talk to the quarterbacks this week, and I wrote a story about Van Dyke. But what was Braden's greatest strength last year that we talked about a lot was the knowledge and understanding of this offense, the fact that he was in an air raid system before under Mike Leach, and while there are some different concepts, particularly in the RPO and run game, that was what helped him stand out. Well, now he's got that full year in Phil Longo's system. And Van Dyke even talked about how he's coming in here and everyone else is full go, and he's got to get up to speed a little bit. And I think that he is, because that's another thing that Longo said too, is like even he has seen a little greater level of comfort from Van Dijk as the practices have gone along, simply in the way that he can adjust his teammates. Oh, I need to flip the running back to the other side. The slot receiver is up. I need to move him. Let me move the wide receiver over. Let me change the protection for the offensive line. Sometimes you take those things for granted, but even for someone who's a fifth-year senior, this is a new system for him. But so yes, it does surprise me, but I think the other thing is people will wonder, what does that mean? If what we saw of Braden Locke last year was a guy who wasn't particularly mobile, completed 50% of his passes. Yes, he had five touchdowns and one interception, lost a couple fumbles, and they bring in this fifth-year senior, and he's not the clear-cut number one. What does that mean about this offense and this quarterback job? I don't necessarily think at this point it's a bad thing, but certainly you want to see someone separate himself to the point where you feel like, okay, this is a guy who can help the offense click into a different gear.
Through three practices that we've gotten to see, has either one of them stood out to you in any particular way?
Well, I think Braden had a couple of really good throws on Saturday. And again, that was the first fully padded practice. They were outside on the practice field next to Camp Randall Stadium. There just haven't, to me, been enough deep shots to really get a sense of it. And also, actual 11 on 11 move the ball, which we've talked about over time. It's a little hard to tell when they're not in that full-on scrimmage type of situation. But I think Braden made a couple throws that really stood out on Saturday. One, it looked like I think he kind of had a pump fake down the right sideline and had JT Seagreaves wide open, granted, but found him on a perfect pass up the right hash for 20, 30 yard plus gain. And there was another throw that in most instances you would say probably
Zach.
ill-advised for Locke, but threw off his back foot across his body over the middle and completed the
Oh.
pass to Quincy Burrows.
Yeah, that was a Brett Favre special without Brett Favre's arm talent.
And Burrows, I think, has really had a pretty good week here. But on the whole, I don't really feel like there's been a ton of wow moments. But it's still very early. I think like Van Dijk hasn't done anything where you say, oh, he's got no business being in the competition. But I think you bring a guy in like that, you're just looking for him to take the reins, and it's still a long way to go, obviously.
I know you guys were all like it would have been a sack, and I don't disagree with that. But there was the throw from Van Dijk to with guys in his face to Will Polian on the sideline, which was just, a really, really good throw. Was he went 3 for 3 in on that particular time with the 11 on 11 and with the ones, and it was a there's some really good throws there, but I don't know that I've seen greatness from either one of them so far at this point. And again, as we said, it's early. It's three practices in, at least for us, four practices total.
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to make these proclamations at this stage because of how early it is. And I think you can see the traits of what Tyler could be here and why he was so highly regarded when he was ACC Rookie of the Year. Like the arm strength and the accuracy, I think they're there. There was one throw earlier in the week that really stood out to me. It wasn't any great 50-yard bomb or something like that, but he threaded a needle between it. Must have been at least three defenders, it felt like, on a perfect pass to Tyrell Henry for a first down, or would have been a first down. And you see something like that, and you go, okay, yeah, those are the kinds of throws. It feels like why they brought him here, plus all that experience. But I think it mill. It, I mean, I know Phil Longo said, and this is another thing he mentioned, like he's only had 1 year. He talked about this with us on in the interview that he had. He'd only had 1 year as an offensive coordinator, and it was at North Carolina, where it came down to right before the first game, and he and Mac Brown had to make an actual decision of who is the starter. He said, otherwise, every year it just reveals itself based on who shows up best in practices.
Yeah.
And that is the goal. I just don't think we're going to have an answer by the time spring ball is over.
I thought it was very, very funny. It had me doing having flashbacks is when he was talking about anybody that has been here and will be able to tell who the starter is. And I'm like, well, I have some experience from 2014 that would suggest otherwise, because a former coach said the exact same thing. Anybody that has seen practice knows the way that this is going. between Joel Staave and Tanner McAvoy, and it did not go the way everybody that had been at practice saw it going. So I kind of have a little bit more trust in Phil Longo and what he's saying than Gary
Yes.
Anderson for sure.
Yes. The other
So
thing I would say in this conversation, by the way, is I think sometimes we tend to, and maybe I don't know if I'm speaking for the fan in general, you think of, oh, Braden Locke is the guy that we saw last season, and that's just who he is. And
can't
maybe
get better.
that will maybe turn out to be the case. You just never know. But like, he was a redshirt freshman, literally playing his first college snaps in a really difficult spot where very clearly the offense as a whole was nowhere near what anybody thought it would be. And while he did have some struggles, I don't think it's fair to just think, oh, that's who that dude was, and that's who he's always going to be. And so if he's challenging for the starting role this year, that means Wisconsin is up a creek without a paddle. That may end up being the case. But right now, I think that's at least worth throwing out there that now he's got a full year in the system. He talked about he feels like, especially in the strength program, that that has made a significant difference. And going into year two of a system makes a big difference too.
It definitely does. All right, so that's the starting quarterback battle. There is also a lot of interest in the two guys behind them, right? In Nick Evers and Mabry Matoyer, the true freshman who is an early enrollee. You have Nick Evers, who has all the talents, both arm and leg, I should say, that you could hope for in a quarterback. So I'm going to throw another overreaction or no at you, and I guess I can explain it at the end if you have trouble getting it. Mabry Matoyer has a brighter future at Wisconsin than Nick Evers. Is that an overreaction or no?
I will say that's an overreaction. Obviously, there's a 2 year difference in school, so there's more years, more opportunity for Mabry. But I think from a skill set standpoint, we've said this from the first time we saw Nick Evers in spring ball, he's got di a dynamic that nobody else in that room has. And we've heard a lot this spring about how much further along he is in terms of his knowledge of the offense. I certainly wish we would have had the opportunity to talk to him when the quarterbacks were made available, but we only got to speak to Tyler and Braden. So we just have to go on what everybody else says. But I think you can see some of those things in practice with Nick. And it's worth noting that both those guys are kind of feels like just splitting reps with the threes, although sometimes Nick may get a two rep. But I really like the skill set that he has. I just don't know, is it going to be enough to overtake either of the top two guys this season? And if not this season, he and Braden Locke are in the same class. What exactly would that look like?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how play. Look, the reps that they're getting, it feels like, and this is just a feel, not tracking it. It feels like maybe he's gotten some more reps than Nick has when it comes to running with the threes, which I think we should also mention the number three offensive line is a
Oh
couple of
my
guys that
goodness.
are currently try-on players, right? Or excuse me, tryout players. There, it's not great. It's a really tough thing to work behind if you're a quarterback or even a running back, but they're doing their best. It feels like some of the reps with maybe he's getting a few more reps than Nick Evers would, and that I think I'm sure that's probably disappointing for some. All right, so some bigger picture things here that we saw throughout the three practices. As this is going to be, we're not just going to break down Saturday, even though we will talk about what happened on Saturday. And one of the things that did happen on Saturday was an interesting new alignment on defense. One that I don't think that we've seen, at least for a while at Wisconsin. It may have been something that Dave Aranda was in at points, but it was essentially, if you're doing it strictly by the positions these guys play, and they're listed at on the roster, it was a 1-5-5. You had James Thompson Jr. as the only true defensive lineman on the field. You had five linebackers, five defensive backs. And in this particular set, you had Darrell Peterson with his hand on the ground and then a whole bunch of guys around him. We'll see. I feel like this is going to be something they're going to be able to work with in pass rushing when they get teams in long dis in long down and distance, you're not going to be able, you're not going to play this, you know, necessarily when it's first and 10, but it's an interesting package and one that I think you could have some fun with. And it kind of reminds me going back to 2015 where they would put TJ Watt with his hand on the ground and kind of be that defensive tackle, but also essentially just be a pass rusher. He didn't, I mean, if you think back to 2015, TJ Watt did not get a ton of time at outside linebacker. They had some other really good players there. I was with Vince Beagle and Joe Schobert. So they, when on third downs, they would move him inside to a defensive tackle spot and let him rush. And that's kind of what this was. But you have Leon Lowry on the field. You have just so much athleticism and length on the field with that particular combination of players.
One of the biggest talking points from the time the bowl game ended to where we're at now has been the upgrades, potential upgrades. It felt like upgrades at the linebacker positions and what that could allow Wisconsin to do. We know that this defense last year just did not have the personnel for what Mike Tressel and the group wanted. And some of that's on the coaching staff, which they have at least acknowledged about trying to put those guys in a better position. But when you have all those guys, you got to figure out ways to be creative and utilize them. And I think Mike Tressel indicated as much earlier in the week when we had a chance to talk to him. So at first, it's really head scratching because you've only got one true defensive lineman on the field, like you're talking about. You've got Darrell Peterson with his hand on the ground, which then allows an extra linebacker to be out on the field. And they have Jaheim Thomas, who's an inside linebacker coming off the edge, but you've got Jake Chaney and Christian Allegro there at their sort of usual inside linebacker spots. And Leon Lowry was the other one. And then they also had Aaron Witt handling the same role that Darrell Peterson did. And they can do this with a number of different guys, but you're just putting more athletes on the field. And I guess what I would be curious to see is, and I'll ask you this, what kind of situation do you think we would see this from?
Well,
We're
I think
just
it's
sent third and long, and you're just gonna send the house and get after it?
Well,
Because I think some people were like, wait, what? A 155? Oh, that's really gonna work.
no,
It's this package.
they struggled mightily to stop the run when they had two defense linemen on the field last year. I mean, this is not a situation where you're, I mean, they gave up over 200 yards, what was it, six or seven times? If you take out, you know, you take out the sack yardage, some of the numbers that they gave up on the ground last year, they're not, this is not a package that you're going to run. I don't think in first and second, or even, you know, like short yards. Like, this is not something that you're going to throw out there. This is a situation you're going to throw out there when you have third and eight plus, and you're able to go and create some havoc, because what it does, it allows you so much versatility in who comes, who drops, who, some games you can play up front. Like, it just allows you that many different ways to do different things with it. But no, this is not a package you're going to see like on a regular basis when it's normal down and distances. This is certainly something that you would think comes out when you have some advantage and you're able to dictate to the offense more so than the offense dictating towards you based on down and distance. So yeah, it's an interesting package and one I expect we'll see at times this year, but I certainly would not be something that is going to be out there like 50, 60% of the time or anything like that, or anywhere probably close to that. Unless the
It's
other team is
fun.
in, unless the other team is in third and eight plus 50 to 60% of the time, which would be amazing if you're Wisconsin's defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. I like watching coaches try new stuff, and Tressel's certainly been willing to do that. The question now is, will it work? We'll see. I think Jaheim Thomas, obviously, based on what he's done on the field and his knowledge of Tressel and Fickell and everything, having spent 3 seasons at Cincinnati, it's potentially exciting to see all those guys on the field together.
It certainly is. It certainly is. And they have, the rotations at inside linebacker that we've seen. You know, it's been a lot of Christian Allegro and Jake Chaney with the ones, but also Jaheim Thomas getting some time at the ones. And we'll see what happens when Curtis Tackett is fully cleared and ready to go as he returns from that offseason surgery. So there are a lot of options there. And you know where there are not just a ton of options is defensive line. So when you have those type of bodies at linebacker, and maybe you don't necessarily have great pass rushing bodies at defensive line, what do? Figure out a way to get your best players on the field that can go and create some issues for an offensive line. And I think that is one way of doing it right now. And maybe this is the point that at least mentioned that James Thompson Jr. left Saturday's practice with a left leg injury. It appeared pretty serious when it initially happened. He wasn't, I mean, they had to help him off the field. Didn't look like he was putting a ton of weight on it. Then after they checked him out, he was able to put some weight on it and walk off under his own power, like back to the trainer's table, off to the north side of that, or no, the south side of the field there. That would he's I mean, you think about guys that they can't lose. I think he's towards the top of the list of guys they can least afford to lose. So we'll see. He has had major injuries in the past. I think, what was it? Was it a torn Achilles that he had when he was a true freshman? That game at Michigan. It was a really tough injury for him back in 2020. So hopefully that is not that bad. The other injury that popped up was Kamoi Latu, and it looked initially like a hand or an arm, but apparently it was a shoulder injury. And we know that Kamoi Latu loves to hit, right? Like, that is there. I don't know if I've ever seen a safety enjoy the inside drill more than him being able to come down and not have to worry about covering a pass, like just come down and knocking the crap out of whoever is available to knock the crap out of. But this one was about 15 yards down the field. He tried to do that to Tywee Walker. It didn't work great for him. He bounced right off. Tywee Walker just bounced right off. And that's, I want to talk about Tywee, but this led to Kamoi having to leave the practice, and he did not return. And you could hear him being pretty upset when he was being looked at by the trainer. So I don't know exactly what that means for him, but not ideal. That said, the guy that he hit on that particular play has been one of the more intriguing of the transfers that we've seen to this point. I think there have been a ton of opportunities for him just to run through guys, and he's done that. He's also catches the ball so well out of the backfield. It's probably not a fair comparison. It just, he kind of reminds me a little bit of it, and that's Chris James. I think he might be more explosive than Chris James, but he kind of catches the ball like him, and has a little bit of a that stoutness power to him.
Yeah, so Wisconsin brought in 12 scholarship additions out of the transfer portal this offseason. And Tywee Walker, to me, has been among the most impressive. And certainly from the four offensive guys that have come in, which would be Van Dyke, Walker, Jackson McGowan, the tight end, and then Tyrell Henry, the wide receiver. Walker's number one for me so far. I feel like he's done as much as he could to establish himself as a really strong candidate to be the number two running back when the season starts. Now, obviously, Derrion Dupree and Dylan Jones plan to have something to say about that, but they're not here yet. Yes, he's 5'9", 222 pounds, and so you kind of think, oh, he's more of a bowling ball downhill guy, and he is, but he's got better burst than I think most people would expect for a guy that size. And he has really showcased that when he can hit the hole. There was one run on Saturday where he got up the middle and slip past Jaheim Thomas, who dove for him. And again, sometimes it's tough to tell, well, would that have been a 2 yard gain or was that a 12 yard gain? But really looked like he was able to get by him. And you talked about his pass catching ability. We know that's something that they'd like to be able to utilize with the running backs. There was one in particular, he caught a pass out in the flat and then kind of ran through safety Austin Brown. And everybody on offense had the old, oohs and ahs, and everyone was going crazy. So I think when he was added as part of this transfer portal haul, some people might have been scratching their heads like, wait, you need eight scholarship running backs? Why do they have this guy? And oh, it's just a safety valve in case Ches Malusi gets hurt. And that may very well be the case because we know Ches has been injury prone for his first 3 seasons at Wisconsin. But I think he's going to be a legitimate part of this offense and can do a lot of different things. And it's just kind of strange his path in general because when he was at Oklahoma, he was never actually on scholarship. So this is the first time in his FBS career that he's on scholarship, and he's certainly showing why.
Yeah. Again, his ability to catch the ball, his ability, the body type a little bit, just that's it reminds me of Chris James. I think he's more explosive, as I said, than Chris James. So some of the other things that have stood out for Wisconsin here through the first four practices for you, I'm wondering if at all, and we kind of mentioned the defensive line, but the offensive line depth,
Yeah.
has that
What
been?
depth?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is
Well,
how big of a concern do you think that should be for Wisconsin at this point?
it's a much bigger concern now, presumably, than when the season, because there are still three true freshmen who are not here yet. And Luke Fickell talked about that earlier in the week. He would love if all of them were here. I think even if those guys are here, it doesn't change the lack of experience. But what it would change is some of those guys, I have to imagine, would figure out a way to work themselves into the two deep. And if not that, at least with the threes, where, as you mentioned before, they've got two guys who are walk-ons who are not even listed on the official spring practice roster. They just need bodies to fill it out. I think that is the position group right now, at least, where you say, man, if they have an injury and more than one injury, they could be in really big trouble
Well,
because
what did
even
we
the
see
two
this?
group has walk-ons.
Yeah, I mean, what did we see with, was it the, I think that was that the twos or the
It
threes?
was the twos, Peyton Lang, the tackle, and they actually had James Duran, who was playing center last year and is now at guard. I've never seen this before on practice Saturday. They were wearing, you know, those mitts for if you ever play with the like a Nerf ball, it's like the purple or the pink and green ball, and you throw it to someone and it sticks to this big pad. That's essentially what they were wearing, presumably so they couldn't be called for holding. Because I know AJ Blazek had been getting on some of the guys for what it appeared to be holding in the first week. So that's kind of where they're at with that group.
If you don't know what those are, like I feel like it's also kind of like the sparring gloves that boxers will hit, you know, like when you put the two gloves up and that's what the boxers are hitting, that the trainer's holding, that they kind of look like those too. So yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's, I'm not saying that it hasn't happened before. I just haven't seen it. And I think at times I've like back, I don't remember where exactly it was, but like they would sometimes have DBs having to hold tennis balls in their hands when they were practicing, so that they couldn't open their hands, and they had to actually, you know, instead of holding those guys, forcing them to use their technique to stay in front of guys and just using your arms, and that it just. Actual technique stuff instead of hold, 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 and grab, 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 grab. But yes, the backup, and it's not necessarily fair because this is four practices in, and the offensive linemen more often than not are going to take a little bit of time to, especially young ones, going to take a little bit of time to figure everything out. There have been a number of other early enrollees that have gotten quite a bit of work, at least in terms of targets. And one of those guys is Kyan Berry Johnson, one of the slots that, you know, you go back and look at some of the highlights, especially in 7-on-7. And I know that's not real football, but his 7-on-7 highlights coming before he got to Wisconsin were some impressive stuff, some really insane catches. We haven't necessarily seen that out of him, but you could tell that he might be another guy in the slot that is going to help them sooner rather than later. Again, he's got two guys in front of him, Will Paulin and Trefkat Kahuna are both ones that we're very high on. But I kind of liked what I've seen out of Kyan Berry Johnson so far.
He's been running with the threes as their slot guy and getting a ton of opportunities. There's one play from Saturday that stands out in particular where Mabry threw a little bit behind him over the middle and he was able to come back and make a really athletic catch to be able to adjust. And that is one of the things that stood out most to him in high school. And you're right, those 7-on-7 films, like he'd go to a rivals camp and sure, it's not what you're going to see in a Big Ten game, but it'd be a one-on-one matchup against a DB and they'd just throw it up there and he would go get it one-handed. And that was kind of became one of his specialties. And if I think about the 2024 recruiting class, he wasn't one of the higher rated guys, but it sort of felt like, ah, this guy has the potential to be one of those steals where you look back and say, why didn't more schools offer him? Wisconsin obviously saw something in him, and we know what Phil Longo wants to do with his slot receiver. So I don't know that he would be a part of things this season, but you never know. I've also been really impressed with Tretch and the opportunities that he does get. The speed is ridiculous. We're talking about the one-on-ones and 7-on-7 in high school camps, but they also do a one-on-one drill where they just put a wide receiver against a DB. And also not fair because they literally have the entire field to work with, so they could do whatever they want. But you can just see the speed that Tretch has and the way he can create separation. He's not very big, but he makes up for it with the other talents that he has. So I really like the slot receiver group that they have. And I think we mentioned this earlier in the week. I'd be very intrigued to see what it looks like when they put both Pauling and Kekahuna on the field together. But I think there is some really good talent in that 2024 recruiting class. And the other thing I should mention when we were talking about the O-line, one of those early enrollees, Kevin Haywood, is getting all the two reps at left tackle, which like you almost I don't think you see that very often where you've got an early enrollee coming in and he's getting all the two reps like that, but that's part of where they're at on the offensive line right now.
Well, I mean, he's also physically ready to do it too, right? Like he's a like you don't normally and maybe this is not the case anymore. It feels like a lot of these guys are coming in at 290, 295, over 300 pounds already, and ready to be able to step in and at least compete physically. But it's the reps and the technique and that type of stuff that you have to be able to have to succeed at along the offensive line. But physically, that's why I think why they're able to throw him in there, right? Because if he wasn't ready physically, it would be a disaster. And I'm not saying it hasn't been a disaster by any stretch. It's just asking a lot for a guy to come in and compete, and especially some of the edges that he's having to go against, whether it's Leon Lowry or John Pius or Darrell Peterson or, Aaron Witt. Like there are a number of talented pass rushers that Wisconsin brought in and has available now to challenge these tackles. And that was one of the guys I wanted to ask you about. Leon Lowry is someone that has stood out so far for you, right?
Definitely. I thought Thursday, if you anytime I looked up, it felt like he was making a play. And again, it's still early, but you're trying to see, well, who's ready right now and who is starting to separate himself. And it felt to me like Lowry's was one of those guys. There were four plays in particular that stood out. Two of them were sacks. The first one was kind of funny. I feel like we've seen among these early skirmishes, you got a returning player and a transfer who's just come in, and the transfers are trying to basically be like, I'm here right now, and I don't care how long you've been here, I'm ready to play. He started jawing with Jack Nelson, and then Joe Brunner got involved, and probably because Brunner was the second guy in, they didn't like that, and he ended up having to run a couple laps. But Lowry has been very active, and in addition to those couple of sacks, there was a couple other plays that stood out. There was a pass to Pauling into the flat, and Lowry was just right there, would have stopped him for no gain. And then also he kind of just got into the backfield and blew up a play where Van Dyke and the running back were meeting at the mesh point. And like, I don't know what it's, I think we've talked about this in, when we've been watching practices. Does this mean the outside linebackers, because he's not the only one that's been making plays, are going to be really, really good? Or should we be concerned about Wisconsin's offensive tackles at this point? Still very early, but notable that we've seen some big plays from the outside linebackers.
I'd say based on last year, probably have to have a little bit of concern about the tackles, but and specific, you know what? Actually, specifically left tackle, Jack Nelson did not play up to what he's capable of last year. I don't think that's who he is as a player. Riley Mullen, I thought had a really solid season right tackle, and the fact that he was able to play every single game can only be helpful. It's a very good starting point for them to have Jack Nelson and Riley Mullen as their tackles, and if they're getting trouble from Leon Lowry and John Pius and that group, I certainly think that is not a bad thing whatsoever. Some of the other position battles that we kind of talked about last Tuesday that I think are going to be like the quarterback, probably not decided in the spring. Tight end's another one of them that I just don't know that anything is going to happen here that we're going to be able to see and say, oh, yep, those two guys, they're going to be it. Now, at this point, Riley Nowakowski and Tucker Ashcraft are the guys, but could somebody else jump up? I don't know that I've seen anything through the first three practices that suggests that that's going to be the case, but I feel like that is not something that's going to be decided very, very soon or anytime soon.
Whether there's going to be any tight ends other than Nowakowski or Ashcraft who could be,
Players and like actually
well,
contribute over and above what they got from that position last year, which again was not very much.
right. I think we've said before, Hayden Rucci was the leading receiver at that position group with 11 catches. The one who comes to mind is JT Seagreaves, largely because he's gotten a lot of the one reps. And some of that, of course, has to do with Tucker Ashcraft still coming back, who Ashcraft hadn't been participating fully in all the live stuff. So, I mean, Seagreaves has been here for a while now. And if it's a time to make a move, kind of feels like this would be the year. I haven't seen a ton of McGowan, the LSU transfer, so far. Like when he does get in, it might be with the threes. I don't know that either of the two freshman early enrollees are going to be part of the plans this year. Although Grant Stack, physically, there's no denying from a physical standpoint what he can provide. You know what? Now I'm going to consult the roster. 6'6", 260 pounds is his official listed weight on the spring practice roster, which is ridiculous. So there's talent there from the young guys, he and Rob Booker. But in terms of top end and the kind of productivity you're going to see, It's a really big question for me because I think this offense, like we saw in previous years before Longo even got here, you see what they can do when they've got a really dynamic tight end.
Yeah.
And you saw what Longo could do when he had that at North Carolina. I still struggle to see that right now for Wisconsin.
Yeah, I would agree. The one thing that you mentioned here, and then also I think it was Colton Bartholomew from the Wisconsin State Journal had it in his observations as well, that he thought Quincy Burroughs had a really good Saturday and has had a really few good days. What has led both of you to say that? Because I don't know that I have. Because like what I'm looking for from Quincy Burroughs is giving that speed and that ability to take the top off of defense opposite what you get out of the slot and opposite what you're going to get out of Bryson Green. Like they didn't have that last year. That's why they moved Vinny Anthony out there, and Vinny Anthony's still obviously running with the ones. But like what's has stood out to you about Quincy Burroughs?
I look mostly, if I'm looking at my notes on Saturday, how many times does his name come up where he made a catch? That's part of, I think, what I look at, because it's not like he's taken the top off. And remember last spring when CJ Williams is torching the third team defensive back or the second team defensive back who's going to be a third teamer and is then going to be in the transfer portal. It's not that I've seen that from Burroughs. I think it's just the consistency of when the ball is thrown in his direction, he seems to come up with a lot of those catches. And that I'm not saying he's going to be moving into a starting role or anything like that. But I think for a guy who last season finished with four catches for 30 yards, when you start to see someone's name come up consistently in practice because they keep making catches, that's what I saw. And I think all I said was just, like he hadn't, to me, he had a good day on Saturday. That's what I mean by it.
Okay. All right. That's fine. That's fine. I just wanted to ask because it was not somebody that had like jumped out and hit me in the face based on what I feel like we were or are expecting out of that spot and wanting and what Phil Longo has said that they need. Once just look at wait till this offense has an explosive threat on the outside. And Quincy Burroughs, you can make an argument he's one of, if not the fastest guy at wide receiver. And it so you would think he'd be in the mix for that, but him and Vinny Anthony, and obviously CJ Williams, another guy that we talked to Phil Longo about in that first interview. Kind of, I feel like he hasn't made a ton of plays, but when he's been given an opportunity, he has done it. So there are a number of things that we still need to watch and find as we get over the last what 11 practices,
Yeah,
11 practices, including on Tuesday morning. So we'll be back on, I think we'll do another episode after the practice on Tuesday, and we'll try to turn them around a little bit quicker than maybe this one was, but that's completely fine. That was on me. Jesse, anything else you wanted to add or something that maybe you're looking for here the rest of spring?
and we see more field goal kicking, and
Haven't
people
seen
get
a ton
super
of that.
excited about that.
Saw that inside a little bit, right? We got to see a little bit of that inside. I feel like that outside practice was merely due to the high school coaches being there and
Yeah,
it being
probably.
somewhat nice enough to, because there was a ton of coaches in town for the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association clinic that a lot of the Badger coaches ended up speaking at. And then they bring them over for practice on Saturday. And I mean, it was ton. There was a ton of them. And if you put that inside, it's not exactly conducive to the size of the McLean Center. So,
Yeah, there's really
but
not much to see on the field goal front. I'm largely joking. Vaikos is your guy and no one else is close. So.
right, but usually you want to see it, and we got to
Yeah.
see a little bit of it on what was that? Was that Thursday that they kicked a little
Yeah.
bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. Based on that, it is Vaikos and nobody else. So, all right, Jesse, thank you very much.
Thanks, Zach.
All right, there he is, Jesse Temple from The Athletic. You've been listening to The Camp.